There's a couple of interactions in this week's parsha that I think are very, very intriguing, and oddly enough, give us some good insight into the power of kochos hara, the power of forces in the world that are not used to bring kedusha, but rather are more associated with the world, of tumah. The Torah tells us that with the first couple of the makos, so Aaron, Moshe come along, or Aaron comes along and performs the makos, and the chartumim, Paro's magicians or Paro's sorcerers, are able to copy exactly what Aaron did. Suddenly comes the third makah after Dam Tzfardeya, the makah of Kinim. Kinim is where we transform, or Aaron transforms Afar Ha'aret, the dirt of the ground. He transforms it into lice. And the Torah tells us here in Perek Ches, Pasuk Yedalet, V'yasu chena chartumim bilatehem. The Chartumim, Paro's sorcerers, did this also, Lahoti Sakinim, Velo Yacholu, and they were not able to, and they responded in the next pasuk, Vayomar Chartum El Paro, Etzba Elokim, Hey. That the Chartumim try to copy Kinim also, they're not able to, and they turn to Paro and they say, whoa, this is the hand of God. It must be that the Ribono Shalom is really behind this. Many Mefarshim deal with a series of questions, but one of the more intriguing ones is what's going on with the Chartumim. They're able to copy the makah of Dam. They can change water into blood. They're able to copy the makah of Tzfardeya. And why is it that they can't copy the makah of Kinim? What exactly about Kinim are the Chartumim unable to copy? There are a bunch of different answers in just a classical Mefarshim here. We'll go over some of them, and then we'll try and develop a couple of insights in particular based on what Rashi says. The Chizkuni says a couple of technical things. Maybe the Chartumim couldn't come along and make it into Kinim because all of the dirt of Mitzrayim was already made into Kinim. There was nothing left for the Chartumim to do. They couldn't also make the dirt into Kinim. All the dirt of Mitzrayim was already Kinim. More of a technical issue. Now, it's not so clear then why would you respond with Etzbel Kimhi? It must be that this is the Ribono Shel Olam, but that's at least one shot in the Chizkuni. The Chizkuni also says a little bit of an odd, again, as far as what goes on, he seems to be referencing a comment to the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that you can only, the kochos hara, those that want to invoke the powers of impurity, can only do so when they're actually standing on the ground, some sort of a rule in invoking the kochos hara, I don't know why, and because there was kinim everywhere, there was kinim on the ground also, and they weren't really able to stand on the ground to be able to invoke the kochos hara. Okay, those are some of the answers of the Chizkuni. The Ramban offers a couple additional pshatim. One, the Ramban says, and he elaborates this also in a different sefer of his called Toras Hashem Temima. The Ramban says an additional insight is that maybe, he said, the fact that they tried to do it tells us that they really did have the capacity to do so. They really in the past were able to. I wouldn't try something I was never able to do. It must be they were able to do so, but rather it was the Ratzon of Hashem to stop them now. That even though they did the first couple, Hashem said, and even though you have the ability to do this, Hashem said, I'm putting a stop to it. And that's why they came along. And they said, Ethel Kimmy must be that their Ribono Shel Olam is in charge. Why would Hashem want to stop it now? So the Chizkuni says something intriguing. He says, well, this would actually be the third makah, the third one that they would be copying from Aaron. We know that in Halacha, three times is a chazakah. Something happens once, something happens twice. That could be viewed as a random occurrence. Something happens three times, so then you've already established a pattern. That's already considered to be a proof or a riot to where you're at. So it could be, the Ramban says, Hashem stopped it right now. The Chizkuni may add, because even if we're willing to understand that maybe you have the capacity to do so, but they do it three times already, then it would look like that you were a person of a certain stature, you could do whatever you want, you have a chazakah that you could copy what's going on, and Hashem wanted to make it clear, no, I'm in control and not you. We'll go with one more insight that's from the Rishonim, and then we'll pause to develop, hopefully, what are some very intriguing ideas. The Ramban says another insight. He says, all the Chartumim can do, and this insight is based on the Machlokes and Rishonim, the Chartumim can manipulate nature, but they can't really create things. They can't create things from scratch. So the Ramban says, changing liquid to liquid, that's like a manipulation of nature. Changing dam to mayim, mayim to dam, that's a manipulation, water to blood. They're all liquids. the Tzfardeya bringing up lots of different frogs, like for some days in Chazal, just bring out some frogs. That's not called, that's called manipulating, moving the frogs there, but you haven't created something from scratch. To take Afar Ha'aretz, to take dirt of the ground and to transform that into Kinem, that's a form of creation, and the Chartumim were unable to do so. They didn't have the capacity to create. That's limited to the kochos of Kedusha. That's limited specifically to those who have more rooted in holiness. Let's just go over what we've seen so far so we hopefully can have time to, again, develop some additional ideas. The first, why is it the Chartumim, Paro's source verse, can copy so much, but they can't copy what's going on in Kinem? So the Chizkuni says, well, maybe technically they couldn't copy it because there was no more effort to make into Kinem. All the dirt already had become lice. Maybe, says the Chizkuni, you have to stand on the ground to be able to do it. That's part of the rules of invoking Kochos Hara. They weren't able to. The Ramban says Hashem decided enough is enough. The Chizkuni, three times, we can't have a chazaka. We can't have it can't be that compelling. Or the last idea, the Ramban, they can manipulate nature. They can't change nature. However, the Gemara Masechet Sanhedrin Daf Samach Zayin, Rashi quotes it, the Ramban as well, tells us something else. Rashi quotes here, Rashi says, it's for the following reason. She'ein ha'sheit sholid al-birya p'chusa mikisa'ora. Says Rashi here from the Gemara Sanhedrin, the kochos hara, invoking demons and things like that, they can do a whole lot. They can transform water into blood. They can do a lot with frogs. But they have no control over those things which are smaller than p'chusa mikisa'ora. That which is smaller than, what's that, barley corn? They can't do anything which is that small. They have no shlita, they have no control over things that are that small. Why do they have no control over things that are that small? What's behind that? That they have no control over things that are that small? We'll share two approaches. The Maharal offers the following suggestion. Says the Maharal like this. Things that are so small don't really have their own independent identity. Anything which is smaller than a kseora is essentially batel to the world. It doesn't have its own independent chashivas. Anything which is larger than a kseora, that's why the shir, the Mishnah tells us, to be tamei meis is a kseora. Anything that's bigger than a kseora has its own independent identity. Says the Maharal the following insight. The kochos hara, those powers, those evil powers which the Chartumim were able to invoke, they were able to be in control of that which stands independently, because they can control individual items. But anything which is so small that has no individual identity, anything which is so small that it's essentially batel to the world, it becomes nullified to the world, the kochos hara have no power over, because they can't control the world. They can't control that which is connected to, that which is part of all of existence. All they can do is target individual things. And says the Maharal, anything which is smaller than a kseora, we don't relate to as being an individual item, but rather as if it's part of the world as a whole. Says the Maharal, when you are, though, larger than a kseora, then you're independent enough, you're not considered to be batel to the world, and that's where the Chartumim have the ability to have their impact. So what, oddly enough, what the Maharal essentially says is, Chartumim can't impact the world, the olam. And anything which is so small becomes viewed as if it's part of the olam. And therefore it can. What can the Chartumim do? Kochos hara can target individual things. It can't target things that are as big as the olam. And these things are so small, they essentially become nullified. There is an additional insight, though. It's one that I think is incredibly, incredibly beautiful. I saw it years ago, I believe, in a sefer written by Rabbi Modi'in now, I believe, Rabbi Gideon Weitzman, wrote a sefer on Insights in the Parsha, based in the Torah of Rav Kook, and he has what is such a beautiful insight into this Gemara. He offers the following suggestion. One of the things that makes Am Yisrael, that makes the Jewish people so special, and the world of Halacha in particular, is that we understand that almost every single thing that we do in this world, in many ways, can be dictated by Halacha and dictated by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The manner in which we put our shoes on in the morning, right, left, tie the right, the way that we go through all different, every step of our day in many ways, even not just the big thing, but the small things also, halacha plays a critical role in all of those things. Says Rabbi Weitzman, it happens to be, I think it's his original insight, I think, if I remember correctly, that in some other religions, in kochos hara, so you only really bring in God, at least in some religions, at big moments. I'll get married in a church, and I'll show up at certain big times, but the day-to-day, how am I going to get dressed in the morning?
So that religion doesn't really speak that much to it. I think he suggests that's part of what's behind this Gemara. Kochos hara, they relate to big things. Things that are so small, kiseora, things that are so small, like the size of a barley corn, they're not misyaches to the things that are so small. So kinim, they couldn't do. It was just too small for them to really relate to it, for them to appreciate what it's really all about. The Jewish people, however, the kochos of Kedusha, whereas it's the opposite of the Maharal. For the Maharal, the kochos of Kedusha have the ability to control the whole world. For this insight, the kochos, the powers of holiness, they can impact, forget the big thing, even the small things, because they recognize the value of even small things. They recognize the value of even that which is really not considered to be so big. So what we spoke about tonight has a lot to do with powers that you find, that powers magicians and powers sorcerers had the ability to copy. So what could they do? What couldn't they do? So the Chizkuni says technically they couldn't copy Kinim because it was already, the dirt had already been transformed. The Ramban says they can manipulate nature, but they can't create things from scratch. And Rashi quotes in the Gemara and Sanhedrin, the kochos hara, the evil powers, have no control over that which is very small. Why? So the Maharal says because that which is very small becomes butthole to the world. And they don't have the power to change the world. It loses its own independent identity. But the last part we quote from Rabbi Weitzman was, I think, a very beautiful idea. That which is very small, we recognize the value of even the minutia of halacha. That everything that we do in our lives, we understand, can be infused with kedusha. And that's how we have control even over that which is very small. I'll end by just pointing out that Yaakov Meir Shechter, one of the great Breslov Tzaddikim of Yerushalayim, as quoted, I believe, from Reb Zusha, the brother of the Noam HaMelech, the following insight. Reb Zusha said, if we see in this Rashi that the kochos hara have no control over that which is smaller than a ksaora, so too a Jew that views himself with a sense of modesty, a Jew that views himself as not being so great, he views himself as being, he's not so haughty, he views himself as being just a simple person. The kochos hara have no power over that person either. The kochos hara don't have power over that which is small, and a Jew who views himself that way is also able to position himself to be very successful. There are kochos hara out there. Part of the lesson of the Chartumim is that even if they have the ability at times to manipulate nature, at times to copy what Aaron did, the power of Kedusha is so much greater. The power of Kedusha can reach more, says the Maharal, and the power of Kedusha can even reach less, says Rabbi Weitzman. Hopefully some interesting insights as far as the power of kochos hara. Guys, have a wonderful night.
When was the first shot about...